You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. with Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth in the studio. Another good day to look forward to as well with day two of the Dante meeting at York. We've also got racing on the flat at Salisbury and jumping from Perth in the afternoon. Newmarket and Fontwell provide the action in the evening. And there's racing over in Ireland from Tipperary. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. James Millman. How are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Mark.
Good man. Another good day coming up at York.
Yep, cracking days racing. The Dante Festival provides some hopefully spectacular, previous to the season really. And like I say, the Dante looks to be key for the Derby, as we'll be discussing later on, with the first three in the Derby market all running in the Dante. And it will certainly, hopefully, sort out the three-year-old crop, because it's very, very clouded at the moment.
It is. We'll start with a look at the Derby market now, because obviously it could all change on the back of the Dante on Thursday. Jack Hobbs is 4-1 market leader. John F. Kennedy 7-1 with Zorak. Elm Park is 8s, 10s for Giovanni Canaletto. Oman River 12s, 14s for Grey Lion and Highland Reel. 16-1 or bigger prices for the others. It's a little bit up in the air at the moment, as you kind of mentioned there. We've got a handicap winner at the top of the betting for the Derby, which is a little bit strange. But what do you make of it all at the moment before we see the trial on Thursday?
Well, the fact is, basically, the ones that haven't run, such as Elm Park, have got the least excuses, because nothing's really gone right for any of the three-year-olds this year that was expected to excel from 2 to 3. John F. Kennedy, obviously, the Ballydoyle hot pot over the winter. He got thrashed in the Ballysacks on his return on very, very soft ground. He was the first one to kind of blot his copybook. And then in the Guineas itself, Oldman River, he was much considered a stay-in prospect by Bayador, but thought good enough to go with Glen Eagles in the 2000 Guineas. He came stone cold last. Obviously, he's running in the Dante tomorrow as well. Christopher Marlowe, the John Gosden runner, odds-on favourite for the Linkwood Derby trial. Looked to be a race which he couldn't get beaten. And the other, Aidan O'Brien, Kilimanjaro, goes flying past. And he's really not considered one of the Ballydoyle top strings. I think he's still available at about 25-1. And he's really probably not in the top five from Ballydoyle. And he wins that trial. So at the moment, nothing has stood out in any of the trials, and hopefully the Dante's going to tell us more, and it's going to be very, very key for the Derby in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah, we'll move on to that in just a moment or two, but before we get to looking at the actual races, I just want to chat with you about riding at York, James. You're obviously a former jockey, good person to ask, I imagine. What was it like? You've ridden at the Dante meeting before, haven't you?
Yeah, no, I had a couple of rides at the Dante meeting on the Friday. The two-year-old listed race, we had a filly that ran in that one, and like for Mars, he ran there a couple of times, and a few rides in the sprints, and it's a real busy crowd for a midweek meeting. Generally, the crowds are a little bit low, but York's always very, very popular, and for me, it signals probably the start of the Northern race, and gets going properly, and it's a tricky track to ride, because sometimes there's a fair bit of bias, especially on the sprints, and I remember a few years, you had to be right on that standside rail, and it led to a little bit of carnage, but it's evened out a little bit more now. The new draining system means the ground doesn't get quite so soft as what it used to, and it's just a very, very nice racetrack, and it's a great day out as well for people that are going for a day's race, and it's a cracking day out. And obviously my dad enjoyed quite a bit of success there with Sergeant Cecil. He won the Yorkshire Cup, he won the Ebor, and it's provided some good days for the family.
Yeah, you mentioned the draw bias in there. There doesn't seem to be too much of a bias now at York. It always makes it a little bit tricky as well, because it's a real wide course.
Yeah, it can change. It's not one that you definitely know before racing, and obviously we've got some big fields today, and that will kind of help for some of the sprints again tomorrow. But like I say, it does vary from meeting to meeting. There's no particular strong bias, and it does make things a little bit trappy, because it makes it really hard to narrow down these 20-runner handicaps. For the round races on the round course, you do tend to want to be drawn low. If you're drawn wide, you can be stuck out a fair way out, because it's a long, long bend, and that can be a little bit of a disadvantage. People trying to get in a lot of scrimmaging down the back straight, trying to get a position. But on the whole, lovely track to ride, and I was lucky enough to have one win on Channel 4 and Life on Mars, and I'll say it's a great place to be, York.
Mm. With the big crowd and the higher atmosphere, if you like, when you're down at the start on a horse at York, do you approach it differently? Do you get more nervous? Or
to be fair, you're so far away from the crowds, especially if you're on the round course, you don't really notice it. It's more when you're counting down to the start, because generally at most race meetings there's probably people there for about half a furlong, and then it quietens down, but there's people normally down to the three. You've got a little chute which you counter down to the start, and especially for young and inexperienced horses, it can certainly get them head up. The track, the racecourse stables are on the other side of the racecourse, so the horse have to walk across the middle of the track to get to the paddock, and that can upset quite a few. So it's a good test for the Dante, especially because Epsom's such a unique atmosphere. I think probably the track's a little bit more fair at York rather than the undulations you've got at Epsom, but you've got a very similar walk across like you have at Epsom. You've got a similar canter down to start for quite a few people. So it's a really, really good test for a horse's temperament, and that's why the Dante is probably the main trial, I suppose, for the Derby. And it's a very, very good test for horses.
Yeah. Should be good. We're going to look ahead to day two of the Dante meeting. James is going to look at the first four races on the Naves Mile for us, and we'll get his thoughts next.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Yeah, we're going to go through the first four, as I mentioned, starting in the 210, which is a Class 2 handicap over five furlongs. We've got a field of 17 here. I'll spin through the betting as well because it's on site already. See the Sun, 7-1 at the top of the market. Outdo is 8-1. Demora and Perfect Pasture are both 9s. 10s for Algar Lad and Lexington Abbey. 12-1 for Monsieur Joe, Zach Brown and Burning Thread and Red Baron. And 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. As the betting shows there, James, a very open start to the card.
Yeah, as expected for one of these big sprints at York, it's very, very tricky to actually pick out a certainty as such in these kind of races. There's a few I quite like. Outdo is interesting. He's obviously declared to run today. Whether David Amir will run him back-to-back, that's a question mark. But he ran really impressively on his return 24 days ago. And if he makes a quick reappearance, horses that do reappear within 24 hours have a pretty good record. His Secret Witness a few years ago for Ron Harris, I think he ran in both of these races, and I think he may have won on the second day. So it's definitely not detrimental to a horse's chances if a trainer thinks he's come out of that race okay, especially a sprinter doesn't take too much out of him. So it'll be interesting to see if he reappears after today's run. But the one I'm going to take a bit of a chance on is Zach Brown, David Sparrow's runner. On occasion, he's looked pretty impressive on your weather. He wins either very easily or he doesn't get involved, but he's got a lot of ability there. And it'd be interesting to see if he transfers that weather form back onto the turf. He could go well at a bit of a big price. See the Sun, no surprise to see him at the top of the market, a consistent individual in these big races. Tim Easterby's in cracking form at the moment. I think he had a double on Monday, and someone's got course form and form over the five furlong distance. So See the Sun, probably those at the head of the market, would be the most obvious one. And I'll probably be taking a chance on Zach Brown each way at a big price.
Okay. On to the second race. That's the 240 at York. This is a Fillies Group 2. It's the Middleton Stakes. It's over a mile and a quarter. It's for four-year-olds and older. The market looks like this at the time of recording. Bragging is 5-2 at the head of the market. 4-1 for Ribbons. Beldor is 5s. 11-2 for Madame Chiang and Secret Gesture. And then 12-1 and double-figure prices for the others. We'll start with Bragging here, James, who was a progressive filly last term. She won a handicap here at York in pretty convincing style as well, and won a Group 2 on her reappearance at Newmarket.
Yeah, really impressive at Newmarket 11 days ago. To be fair, I went for the French horse because I felt that Sir Michael Stout's horses generally tend to improve for their first run, but she was certainly straight enough to do herself justice, and she won very, very nicely. And the fact Sir Michael's bringing her out just 11 days later shows she's probably come out of that race in really, really good shape. She looks to be a really useful filly for this year, and she escapes a £3 penalty, which Madame Chiang and the Ribbons have got to carry, and that's probably going to be key because I think she's the best filly in the race. Beldor was third in that race at Newmarket 11 days ago, and I think she'll certainly keep the form in this circumstances. But whether Ribbons or Madame Chiang on their first run of the season can give her £3, I think is very, very doubtful. And I think this is a good stepping stone on to Group 1 company for Bragging for Sir Michael Stout in his Group 2 Middleton Stakes. Going on to Ribbons, she progressed really, really well last year for James Fanshawe and the Elite Racing Club. She landed a real nice race over in France, the Group 1. And I think she can keep on progressing this year, but you'd imagine she's probably got loftier targets near the middle of the season, and she probably will come on for this first run. So I think Bragging tomorrow will probably have enough to beat Ribbons with that £3 penalty, but I think probably later in the season they'll bring the two closer together. Of the other, Secret Jester Is obviously interesting. Qatar Racing have kept her in training as a fiver when they could have put her in the into foal at this stage of her career. But they obviously think she's capable of winning at this company, and she's going to be interesting for Rafe Beckett. But I do think Bragging is definitely the one to beat on that form 11 days ago.
Bragging for James then in the 240. The 3:15 at York is the big race of the afternoon. It's the Dante Stakes, a Group 2 over a mile and a quarter. It's for the three-year-olds, a key trial for the Derby. The market headed by Jack Hobbs for the Dante, who's 9-4. 3-1 for Elm Park. John F. Kennedy is 7-2. 5-1 for Golden Horn. 8s for Old Man River. And 14-1 or bigger prices for the others. We've got the top three in the Derby betting in action, and several others in there with good chances. James, who do you like for this year's Dante?
Yeah, this is basically the Derby for me, in the fact that every other kind of three-year-old is really disappointed. I mean, Glen Eagle's not going for the Derby. He's staying at a mile. I think this is the main trial, and arguably, if you had this race as a Derby, you probably would still get the best three-year-old. Elm Park, I really liked him last year. He progressed really, really well for Andrew Bolden, and he was pretty impressive at Newmarket. And then he went on to win the Group 1 race and post-trophy at Doncaster. He sidestepped the Guineas. I think that's a very sensible decision because the ground was on the quick side, and he's always going to be their Derby horse. He was never really going to be the Guineas. The Guineas was going to be a good trial, but I think there's no point running him on that ground, and hopefully they've made the right decision. But the Dante, like I said, they've got some really, really high-class opposition, and I do think it's not going to be easy for him, especially on his first run back, because obviously John F. Kennedy, Jack Hobbs, Golden Horn, the three main rivals, they've all had a run this year, and that could well be key. John F. Kennedy ran a shocker in the Ballysacks in Ireland, and question marks have got to be against him there. He was 5-1 on. He was expected to get the job done, and unfortunately, he was very, very disappointing. He was the best two-year-old probably going into this year for the middle-distance races, but he was never really super flashy, super impressive, and he's against some very, very decent rivals tomorrow, and like I say, with that run so disappointing 32 days ago, I've got to really overlook him. John Gosden's got two very useful unbeaten individuals in Jack Hobbs and Golden Horn. I doubt there's probably that much to split between them because Jack Hobbs only won a handicap at Sandown. Yes, he won it by 12 lengths. He was very, very impressive. But the water ground perhaps left him a little bit flattered, maybe, because a lot of horses didn't handle this. And in behind, the second, third and fourth were all covered by a length. So he finished in a little bit of a bunch in behind him. Yes, he was impressive and he deserves probably to be favourite. But whether he deserves to be so short is a bit of a question mark. Because Golden Horn won a listed race at Newmarket, the Fielding Stakes, on his return 29 days ago. And obviously, Willie Buick takes a ride in him. With Willie Buick and the Godolphin jockey now, there's no clear number one at John Gosden's yard. But I think there's probably very little to split the pair, Golden Horn and Jack Hobbs. And at the prices, I probably will be going for the bigger price rival in Golden Horn to win the Dante. But I think it's a really fascinating race. I can't really rule any of those three unbeaten horses out, but Golden Horn will be the selection.
Golden Horn, the selection for James there then. Another market I want to bring up here is to win the Dante Stakes and the Derby. We've got that on site as well. Any horse who runs in the Dante to win the Derby is 11-10. The winner of the Dante to win the Derby is 2-1. And then if you name the horse, so Jack Hobbs at 10s, 14s Elm Park, John F. Kennedy is 14s as well, 40-1 for Old Man River, bigger for the other two. Golden Horn's actually not mentioned in that betting for some reason.
Not mentioned in that betting?
No.
Because obviously he's a selection. I think the 11-10, the Dante runner will win the Derby. I think that's a cracking bet because ultimately every other horse that's running the other trials has not stood out as a clear Derby candidate. And I think the 1-2-3 in this race will be 1-2-3 in the market at Epsom. So I think that 11-10 is a cracking bet because you're not restricted to buy whatever horse because, like I say, in the preview, Elm Park, Golden Horn, Jack Hobbs, all three are unbeaten. They've done nothing wrong in their career so far. And unfortunately, only one of them is going to be going unbeaten into Derby, or maybe none of them. John F. Kennedy could well return to form, or even Old Man River. So I think that 11-10 is an absolutely cracking bet.
I do like the look of that, though. Any horse who runs in the Dante to win the Derby.
I think that's a cracking bet, 11-10.
Yeah, because you've got four decent horses on your side.
If you get a really impressive winner, he's likely to be that kind of probably 2-1, end of 2-1 anyway, and you've got the other two, because I would imagine the first three will run in the Derby with the way the race is stacking up. And I'd say that's a really, really good bet.
Okay, final race we look at is the 3:45 at York. This is the Hambleton Stakes, listed handicap over a mile. It's for four-year-olds and older. Off Art and You're Fired have the 8-1 joint favourites. Loving Spirit is 9-1. Homage is also 9s with Fort Bastion, 11 to 1 for Capo Rosso, 12s for Ascription, and 14s or bigger for the others. It gets more difficult, James. Who do you like in there?
Yeah, well, the one I really like is Off Art. He ran a really eye-catching race in the First Hand Cup for Tim Easterby. Nothing went right last year. He was fifth in the Lincoln on his return. Unfortunately, he picked up an injury in that First Hand Cup 12 months ago. He ran a really, really eye-catching race from a bad draw there at Thirsk. He stayed on really, really strongly. He was an unlucky loser, but hopefully for Tim Easterby, he can gain compensation in his 50 grand Hamilton handicap. He's got a nice draw to the, tomorrow in stall three. Dave Allen takes a ride, and that was just 12 days ago. He's likely to improve plenty for that first run in over a year. And Off Art is actually a reasonably confident selection. He might well be the nap tomorrow. I really, really liked his effort there at first. One that interests me at a price is Ascription. He's not run for 586 days. Hugo Palmer was trying to get him ready for last year's Lincoln, and I think he met with a little bit of a setback, so he missed the whole of the season. But Hugo Palmer is a very, very good trainer, and despite the fact he's been off a track for 586 days, he got a very positive mention in Hugo's trainer preview for this season. And like I say, he's certainly be able to get him fit, I'd imagine, after that layoff. It won't be easy, but I think you might get a nice each-way price there about Ascription. What price is he, Mark?
12-1.
12-1. I think that's a cracking each-way bet. Off Art will be the main selection, but I could certainly see Ascription running into a place, probably going to improve that first run in over 500 days. But I think he could be a really, really nice type for this year. Of the others, Absel, another one that's eye-catchingly kept in training, the five-year-old for Sir Michael Stout. He's been disappointing recently because Connections 40 was a well handicapped individual. And I'd say, interesting if kept him, he didn't offload him at the sales, but a draw of 17 will make things difficult for him tomorrow. Homage, he's got coarseness since form. He's another one that's going to be pretty dangerous for Willie Haggis. And another one that they've kept as a five-year-old, suggesting that he's got more improvement. So a really interesting mile handicap coming up there in Hamilton tomorrow. But Off Art was really eye-catching at Thirsk, and I think he can win what looks to be a very competitive event.
Okay, I might take you on a little bit there. You just mentioned Homage, or Homage, however you want to say it. Last of all there, won over the course and distance at the back end of last season in decent fashion. Goswell Fresh as well, won on his reappearance last two seasons.
So it's just the Mark Walton nap tomorrow?
It might be, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Competition tomorrow then.
Yeah, we'll take each other on. Good stuff. Let's have a quick summary, James, if you wouldn't mind spinning us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, the four races at York tomorrow. Zach Brown, I'm taking a bit of a flyer in the first race. Each way, if he can transfer the best of his all-weather form onto turf, I think he could be very, very dangerous. In the 240, Braggin was very impressive at Newmarket 11 days ago, and Sir Michael runs her again pretty quickly. I think she can take advantage of race fitness and the fact she receives £3 from the Group 1 winners, Madame Chiang and Ribbons. In the Dante itself, a really, really interesting contest, and probably gone value-wise in Golden Horn because I think he's shown just as much as Jack Hobbs, the other Gosden runner, but he's probably double the price. So Golden Horn will be the selection in the Dante, but I'm really looking forward to just watching that race. And the Hamilton, probably my nap of the day, will be Off Art for Tim Easterby after that very eye-catching First Camp Cup run.
Superb. Thank you very much, James. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
Cheers. Thank you.
The thoughts of James Millman there then on day two of the Dante meeting. You'll hear all of the action from York as well as Perth and Salisbury in the afternoon. Newmarket and Fontwell will provide the action in the evening, and Tipperary provides some entertainment for us over in Ireland as well. Dave Kellner, Chris Pimlott and Craig Forsyth will be the team in the studio. It's all live on William Hill Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.